I come to the garden alone, where the beauties fill on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. The joy we share as we tarry there, another has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me is falling, but he bids me go through the voice of love. To me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. Amen.
For those who have joined us on Zoom, those in the church came after I did ministry matters. I want to say happy Sabbath to you. Happy Sabbath to you, saints. I just want to also extend a warm and cordial welcome to all our visiting friends who are worshiping with us on Zoom and also in the church. By the way, if you're on Zoom now, and you feel that you're missing a link and you're not sick, not talking to Sister Marge, and the others who are not well. But if you're there and you're well and you feel that you're missing a link, the link is the church link. So you need to be in church today so you can make that link connection. All right, so jump in your car, jump in your nice Sabbath best and come to church and let us worship together in the beauty of holiness. What do you say? I just want to extend a warm welcome to Pastor Kufer. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, sir. Yes, Pastor Kufer, ever since COVID, COVID has separated us from him. And he's coming all the way from Zambia. I always thought it was Tanzania. He's coming all the way from Zambia. And I'm sure that he has taken greetings from our brothers and sisters from Zambia to us here in Brooklawn. Am I right, sir? So we want to say thank you for your warm greetings from Zambia to us here at Brooklawn. And today I want to take us on a journey that is appropriate for the time in which we live. Because the time in which we live are serious, is serious time. And last time I preached on imprisonment, praise, and prayer, part one. You're making now the connection, and we're going to finish this series now. So imprisonment, praise, and prayer, part two. Please listen carefully. Take your notes. I'm going to give you time to get all your notepads together so you can get your notes going. Because there's always something to note. Amen? There's always something to note. The tenet of this sermon is about, one, God, man is trapped. Listen to me. Man is trapped or imprisoned or incarcerated in sin. And God's intention is to deliver you from your sinful incarceration. That's the tenet of the message today. All of us are incarcerated in sin. We are trapped in sin. And God wants to liberate us from the captivity of sin. That is why Jesus said, he is anointed to do what? To set the captive free. He is anointed to set at liberty those who are in prison. He is anointed to preach the everlasting gospel. And so today we are living in a time of that everlasting gospel, and we are trapped in sin, and we need to realize to our own selves, what sin am I trapped in? So I can call for help so the Lord can help us. Let us pray. Father God, as we are about to listen to your words today, may our hearts be open, Lord, to receive your words of wisdom, words of instruction, words of inspiration, and words of direction. Bless the waiting congregation today, Lord, and put your words and your phrase and expression on my lips, in my mind, so that it will reach the right persons and the right persons will respond to you. And everyone will say, to God be the glory. I have heard the message today, and I'll turn and live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man became captive of their own thoughts, words, and behavior, which lead them into carnal incarceration. When the light of the gospel shines in their heart, then they will cry out to the Lord with praise, thanksgiving, and prayer. Only when you acknowledge, or only when we acknowledge our sins and confess them, then we will be set free from our sinful captivity and imprisonment. Bear this one thing, brethren. Be consistent to the knowledge of sin and denounce it. What did I say? Be consistent to the knowledge of sin and denounce it. What do I mean? the thoughts and mind you have in church on Sabbath, that holiness, that piety, that cooperation. Be sure to be intentional about it, to carry them to everywhere and anywhere you go during the week. You didn't get that. However you find this, the frame of mind that you find yourself in today as we speak, package it so that you can take it to work. That meekness, that cooperation, so you can take it while driving. So you can keep it at, so you can take it to home. Because, brethren and friends, what church does for us is to bring us into this frame of mind of holiness, that we are to acknowledge that we are before the presence of God. And when we kneel, when we leave here, it should be with us all through the week. Amen. We are not just Seventh day Adventist, but we are 7 days Adventist Christians. I think I set another promise there. So whatever, remember now, all of us are trapped, are in the captivity of sin. And God wants to liberate us. Whatever state of mind we find ourselves in on Sabbath, in the church, or at home, please package that and take it with us everywhere we go so that the love of God will constrain us. Imprisonment, praise, and prayer. It's going to be a different sermon than the one I preached before. And listen carefully and take notes. There are some people who were captive in their thoughts and words and behavior, and they die in it. Captives. They die in it. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The imaginations of their thoughts in their heart were only evil continually. So Saul, King Saul, was one of those characters in the Bible that was trapped in his thoughts and manifested them in his behavior, in his words, rather. He traps in his thought, then he voiced it, and then he acted it. Listen carefully. His thoughts towards David were continually evil. He got trapped in that evil thought until they became his words. Then they became evil actions. Then result in murder. Attempt to murder David. Hear the record. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 6 to 12. And it came to pass as they came, and when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the woman, let me just pause there and say, happy prayer. Happy International Prayer for the Woman in Brooklawn. Let me just pause here to say this. and endorsing the fact that women, don't underestimate yourselves. You are in God's hands to do wonderful things. And without you, there will be no men. Because men cannot produce. All right. So without you, woman, there will be no men. And so we maintain that you are powerful. We respect you. We honor you. And we want you to do the wonderful. But listen to what these women did. Listen to what these women did. And women in the Bible, as Elder Martin mentioned, they are used for God's hand. You hear what these women did? They were intentional about. They were unintentional about what they did, but it sparked jealousy. That the woman came out of all the city of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with a timbrels and with joy and with instrument of music. And the woman answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me that they have did ascribe but 1,000. And what can he have more but the kingdom? In other words, the women were chanting, they made music out of the victory. And they were chanting the music innocently. But Saul saw jealousy in that. He said, oh, so the women are about to put up David to be king of Israel. That's the only thing they can do next. And Saul eyed David. From that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit, the what, brethren? The evil spirit from God came unto Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as an another times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. Of course, you have to be afraid. When God is with somebody, when God is with you, who can be against you? When God stand up for you, who can be against you, brethren? He was afraid because God was with David. And David departed from Saul. Listen what happened. Listen the progression of sin. Even described in Saul. One, follow me carefully. The progression is that his thought of jealousy propelled him into voicing his jealousy. and having voice in his jealousy, he then acted out by throwing his spear or his javelin at David to kill David, because he now feared that David would become the king over him. And from that moment, he pursued David continually until he fell on his own sword. Watch how sin developed. I want to say that it is out of this experience David wrote the Psalm chapter 1, verses 1, that says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not." Come on now, church. Are you with me? "That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Watch the progression. Brethren, when you see something that is not good, don't even turn up. "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of God and ungodly." You see something that is not right, don't even go there, because when you go there, you are going to be filled with curiosity and you're going to sit. And when you sit there, when you sweat, you're not going to sit first. You are going to stand first. You walk there, and then you stand, and when you feel comfortable enough, you sit. When you sit, you're sitting in sin. It is the same progress. Saul thought, and his jealousy, his negative emotion of jealousy, grabbed him. He formulated it in words, and then he carried out the action. Imprisonment, praise, and prayer. That's what we're talking about. Saul was imprisoned by evil thoughts that he could not break out into praise and prayer. We have to be careful, brethren. If we have thoughts that we cannot praise God and pray, we are trapped, we are incarcerated. God does not deal with evil. God does not reward bad behavior. God does not honor disobedience. And God does not deal with defiance and rebellion. God does not. Judas is another character that died in his captivity of his sin. Judas also was influenced by his thought of greed. One was jealousy, and the other was greed and covetousness, which cost him his life. He could not give praise or prayer. Like God went to Cain and discovered how imprisoned he was with jealousy and pride and covetousness, God said to him, that is to Cain, "Sin is lurking at your door." God saw the attitude and the fish. Let's read it. But unto Cain and to his offspring, that's Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5 and 7. Genesis chapter 4, verses 5 and 7. "But unto Cain and his offspring he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." His countenance fell. And the Lord said unto him, unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why thy countenance has fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest well, sin lieth at your door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. I tell you, brethren, sin has a subtle progression. Very subtle. When Cain was upset and he showed it in his face, God went to him and said, I have seen jealousy in your face, and I have seen covetousness in your heart. Sin is lurking at your door. Jesus said to Judas the same expression, what thou doest, do it quickly. John 13 and verse 26 and 27, the same concept. Sin is lurking at your door. You need to stop. Jesus answered and said, He it is to whom I shall give a sup. And I have dipped it. When I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simeon. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. Satan entered into him. And Saul, the evil spirit, entered Saul. In Judas, Satan himself entered Judas. Then said Jesus unto him, shalt thou doest that thou doest, do it quickly. Whatever is in your heart to do, do it quickly. Judas was so imprisoned in his evil thought that he did not even see the outcome. Sin can block us, so we don't even see the punishment and the degradation that it will bring to us. It just dangles something before us and we fall for it. When it stared him in his eyes, at which time it was too late. When he realized that he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, the deal was already closed, and it was too late. When he threw back. The 30 pieces of silver back to the dealers, it was done already. Too late. He was conceived and he delivered. And he was now in trouble. What did Judas do? Judas did not praise God, nor pray. Judas went and took his life. Saul, when he realized that the shrubs took him down off his horse and he was not able to make it, he said to his helper, just kill me. And the helper said, no, I can't kill you. He jumped on his own sword. And took his own life. And some men came and finished him up. If you read the story well, you'll know what David did to those men who finished him up. sin can trap us, brethren. Sin can bring us into captivity and then lead us to death. Dying in sin is not good. So I want the Lord to give me the strength and the message and the clarity to preach this message today, because we need to understand that God wants to save Brooklawn. God wants to save every boy, every woman, every girl, every man in Brooklawn. But you have to see the need for salvation. And you have to see yourselves trapped in your sin. And that which you are trapped in, you need to pray and ask God to deliver you. And when you are delivered, you said, praise the Lord.
Lord.
Let's look at those who were liberated from their carnal captivity and confessed them to God. Let's look at the first one. Since we are on him, let's talk about David. David, he was imprisoned with lust. Come on now, brethren. He was imprisoned with lust. It cost Uriah his wife and his death. When David's sin was revealed to him, he repented. And that is why Psalm 51 comes and says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude and of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this wicked evil thing in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me what? A clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Saul had the evil spirit. Judas had the evil spirit. David is calling for the right spirit of God to be in him. When the right spirit is in us, brethren, we see our nakedness. We see our sinfulness. And we run to God for forgiveness. And then we praise him for forgiveness. Cast me not away from thy presence, because sin has separated us from God. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Amen. When you shall have gone through this process of discovering your sinfulness, ask God to renew his spirit in us. Because when you cast out one, and you don't invite the Holy Spirit to take that place, and you walk in around with that emptiness, seven more come in, and you're worse than before. You get worse than before. And backsliding is not a good thing. Because when you backslide, you're giving up the wonder-working power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you have taken on Satan's spirit. And when he's ready to ravage you, he sets you up and he disgraces you. And he destroys you entirely. You just see nothing about life that is enjoyable anymore. David, lustful thoughts led him to murder Uriah and commit adultery with his wife. Look at David's progression. He went up on the housetop. It was intentional. And then he looked. And then he orchestrated a strategy. You think sin is easy? Huh? Sin gives you a way out into death, but you're not knowing it. He set you up. And so David went and he did all that he would have done because of the thought of lustfulness. And then Nathan appeared to him and pointed out his sin. And he was so convicted that he cried out to the Lord and repented of his sin. Think about it, brethren. Are you seeing any sin in your lives that you need to repent of and give it up? Perhaps you need to start repeating the word in your heart, in your, like David said, search me, O God. Search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked ways in me. And cleanse me from all my sin. Perhaps you need to begin to think about that now as I go through this service, this sermon. The next character who was liberated from their captivity of sin was Peter. Peter denied Jesus out of fear. So in his mind, he had fear. Fear of his own life. But when he realized his fault, he went and repented of his sin of denial. And that is why Peter in 1 Peter 5 and verse 6 through 8 says, he said, Humble thyself therefore unto the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Humble. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about and seeking whom he may devour. Notice how Satan does it. He walks and he sought. He sees you. And he walks about, seek you out. And then he devours you. That's how sin does it. The other character that we found was liberated from his evil thoughts and found refuge in the hands of the Lord was Saul, whose name became Paul. The Apostle Paul. Paul was imprisoned with the thought to persecute the Christian, God's people. He was arrested in that thought. And he was motivated with that thought. He was moving in that thought. And the Lord caught him on the road to Damascus. Christ met him on the road to Damascus as he encountered Jesus. And Jesus spoke to him, what? He humbled himself and asked, what wilt thou have me to do, Lord? And the Lord right away gave him his mandate, direction, and he will bear his name, the Lord's name, before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Paul's mission changed immediately. David's thoughts change immediately. Saul, that is Paul, after that his name was changed from Saul to Paul, and his direction, his mission was also changed. He was now preaching the name of Jesus Christ and was willing to be imprisoned for the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Since we all have sinned and come short, who points out our sins? Nathan points out the sin of David. Jesus pointed out the sin of Judas. Samuel pointed out the sin of Saul. Who pointed out your sin at Brooklawn? Thank you. Don't expect the pastor to go on and say, "You sin. You sin." Because I cannot convict you of your sins. I cannot bring about righteousness. If I tell you to stop eating pork, put away anger, put away your pride, put away your jewelry, stop drinking coffee, stop playing video games, stop your lustful behavior, stop shopping on Sabbaths, it will only go through the left ear and come out to the right ear. If I show you that it is not right to play games on Sabbath, you may not even want to talk to me again. If I point out to you that you're listening too much wrong music, you probably will stone me. So, Pastor, you may ask, so what is your duty? What's your purpose here? I cannot convert you nor convict you of your sins. No matter how I tell you them, no matter how I see it display in my eyes. That is not my job. My job as the pastor is to preach, teach, live my conviction of my God before you. As Micah puts it, he has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do what? Justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That is what is in my hands. That is what is in my hands to do. To be just before you. Make sure you are treated justly. Are you with me, brethren? Pastor Hewlett is here to make sure you are treated justly. So when another member jump on you unlawfully, and whether it is lawfully, I come in the midst and I say, it is not right for you to do this, and you're not right for you to react this way. I try to speak justice. And I should show mercy. When any of you fall, I must run with mercy. I must not be willing to condemn you. And I must be humble before the eyes of God, in the hands of God, and in the eyes of the people. And for some people these days, humility varies from point to point, and it's on a spectrum. And it sometimes is what you expect humility to be like. But when the Spirit of God, brethren, come on with me now. But when the Spirit of God points out your wrongdoing, he will also convict you of your sins and of righteousness. He will cause you to be converted, convicted, and be consecrated. This is why John puts it this way in John 16 and verse 17, verse 7 to 8. He says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I leave. For if I do not leave, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he's come, will convict you of the world regarding sin and righteousness and judgment. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to point out your sins, convict you, convince you, consecrate you, and bring you to justice. Not Pastor Hewlett. It's not the elders. It's not even you to each other. But what we can surely do as human beings is if we see you going a wrong path, we can counsel you with scripture and say, this is the wrong path to take. And so we can help to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to navigate your path back to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we listen to him, we will be converted and we will be changed. Listen to the still small voice. So study the word of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit and he will convict you of your sins. That is to say, you are not living up to the standard of the word that you have read. And then you'll want to change, and then you'll change, and you'll be converted. And in the process of your conversion, you will repent of your sins, and then you can praise God. When I look at my life and what I could have been and what I am, praise God. What state are we in? What state are we in our carnal captivity? What state? St. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Sinful we are. We are trapped in our sinful mind. The thoughts, sinful mind and thoughts. Paul puts it this way, Romans chapter 7 and verse 7, 8 and 12. He says, what shall I say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No. I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscences. For without the law, sin is dead. What does that mean? We live out sinful practices, and so it becomes dead to us. We become numb to sin. We just lie at the drop of a hat. It's nothing. But when the law of God says, thou shalt not, what? Bear false witness. We know that we should not lie, and so we read it, we practice it, and we live it, and we become convicted, and we become converted. Amen? That's a progress. Just as how sin has a progress, righteousness has a progress. And the progress is, brethren, we read it. Amen? We think it, and we act it. And I notice a lot of people have the problem of the transition between reading the scripture and transferring it into our daily lives so that it become a part of us. A lot of people have that problem. Reading it is one. It's out there. But to practice it is a vacuum. Head knowledge is not enough. The knowledge of the scripture is not enough.
to save you. To go and read the scripture and be able to recite it day and night is not enough. But what is enough, brethren, is when we read it, recite it, and the Holy Spirit help us to walk it. Huh? We walk it. And when we walk it long enough and practice it long enough, it becomes a part of us. So somebody said, there goes a Christian, because we walk differently. We dress differently. And our vocabulary, oh man, our vocabulary is different because we have new words. The words are from the words of God. And so if we follow the progression, read it, practice it, and ingest it. Brethren, do you see a nice plate of food and just look at it and it's not for you? Talk to me now. Your favorite dish. Can you just look at it? Huh? Just look at your favorite dish and you're filled and you're satisfied. You get all the nutrients that you need to get in your body. Can you just do that? So why do you want to treat the word of God like that? The word of God, brethren, we need to go and taste it so it changes us. So that when any member of Brooklawn go anywhere in the world, they can say, there goes a Brooklawn brethren. Because you not only look at the word, you taste it. And it nourishes you. And you look a certain way. You look so good. You don't have to put on any earring, nor lipstick, nor anything. Because you look so pristine. Let the word of God dwell in our hearts. So, Paul is saying, we do not know that we are sin except the law of God points out to us. But sin, taken occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscences. And I move on. Wherefore, the law is holy and the commandment is just and good. Romans chapter 7, 14. For we know not the law, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am what? Carnal, sold under sin. Stay with me a little bit now. Stay with me now. Stay with me. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. In other words, I know stealing is wrong. I know stealing is wrong. And I want to stop stealing. But because there is a conflict in me, I find myself stealing anyhow. That's incarceration. That's captivity. That's sin taking you over. If I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is, it is good. Now, then it is not that then, now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So it is a sin that dwells in us that brought us into captivity. And Jesus said he's anointed to deliver us from captivity. Sin has taken us over. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Oh, wretched man that I am, no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. For the evil which I would not, that I do. I know killing is wrong, but I still kill. I know that stealing is wrong, I still steal. I know that lying is wrong, I still lie. Because what? You are trapped in the practicing of lying. Lying from you were 2 years old until you're 50, 60, still lying. Why? Because sin is trapped. We are trapped in our habits of sin. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is not no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Praise for deliverance. Romans 7, 22, 25. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, after the inward man, not the outward, after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law in my mind and bringing me into what? Are you with me, brethren? Bringing me into captivity. I'm talking about Romans chapter 7, 22, onward, and I am at 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into what? Talk with me, church. Bringing me into what? Into captivity. The law of what? The law of sin, which is in my members. The law of sin, bringing us into captivity. This is where Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? Sin is death, brethren. The wages of sin is death, especially when you willfully and intentionally sin, when you make provision for sin, is death. I thank God, this is praise now, I thank God through Jesus Christ, the Lord, so then, with my mind, with the mind of myself, serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is a great controversy that is going on in our minds. And that is why we have to be careful of the progression of sin. You have the desire, you see it, you go for it, and you do it. And you do it so many times, and it becomes pleasurable to you. You do it over and over and over and over. Until you get locked into it. But little did you know that you're locked into your destiny of death. Like that of King Saul. And that of Judas. But thank God there is hope for us. There is hope for us. And in closing, we all have sin. We all, once we are born after Adam and Eve, we all have sin and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 23, 24 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I want to live freely through the forgiveness of Christ Jesus. I want to live a free life, free from sin, free from imprisonment of sin. I want, when I make a decision, it's the right decision for God, Elamark. I want, when I make a decision, it is for God's glory, not for my pleasure. I do not want to take the pleasure now and give up the pleasures and the glory of God that is to come. Because if you have the pleasure now, you're not going to want the pleasures of salvation when it comes. You shall change yourselves. It's best now to give up the pleasures of this world and accept the pleasures of the kingdom of God. So when you get there, you can skip, hop, and jump because you have made it in the kingdom of God through the power of Jesus Christ and through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I do not want to die in sin. I do not want to die in sin. Saul, King Saul, died in his sin of jealousy and murder. Judas died as a covetous man. Examine yourselves. If you should die now, what sin would you die in? Think about it. What sin are you cherishing? Are you trapped in it? Every time I want to do something right, that just bounces back into me. I'm doing it. I find myself doing it every time. Think about it. Is it defiance? Is it disobedience? What pleasure do you find yourself in, and so much so that the word of God has no meaning to you because you're so steeped in pleasure? But here's hope. Well, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, in Luke chapter 4, let me bring it back to you. Luke chapter 4. And in Luke chapter 4, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, those who are in sin, who are captive by sin. He came to preach deliverance and to recover our sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's the mission of Jesus, and that's the mission of the gospel, and that's my mission today. To preach deliverance from the captivity of sin. But remember, I said, I can't point out your sin for you to be converted. Remember that I cannot convict you. I cannot bring about righteousness in your lives. What I can do is to be just, show justice, show mercy, and love. Bow your heads with me. Ask God to search you now. What are the wrong things that you see yourself doing that are not? You're not informed by the Bible to do those.
What are the things that you see yourself indulge in that bringing you pleasure but bringing hurt and crucifying Christ a second time on the cross? Jesus came so that he may deliver us from evil and from sin and the captivity of sin. Are you want to be delivered today? Be sure. Think about it. You are here today. You have not given your heart to Jesus Christ. You have not yet been baptized. And you don't want to die like Saul in his sin. Neither like Judas in his sin. But you want to be like a David who confessed his sin and have the hope of salvation. You want to be like Saul, Paul, whose direction has been changed. You want to say, Lord, I want to be delivered. With bowed head, everybody. You're down there. You have not given your heart. You have not yet been baptized. And you're saying, Pastor, I want you to pray for me so I can get rid of sin. I can walk with you. You just raise your hand. You have not yet been baptized. Raise those hands. Raise that hand. 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 Amen. Amen. Another call for us as brethren. I want, when I go to heaven, I want to see the brethren at Brooklawn there. I want, because I'm your pastor and I care so much for you and your salvation, I want you to stand with me to say, I am pledging with you, Pastor, that all of us, I will confess my sins, I'll acknowledge them, I'll confess them, and I'll walk the walk according to Scripture. Is that your desire, church? Stand with me, because that's my desire. That's my desire. Is that your desire? Stand with me. Stand with me. I want us to sing this song, Search Me, O God, as you think about it. Sing that song. Search me, O Lord, and know my thought today. Try me, my Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked ways in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I'm going to pray. Let us pray. Father God, there are people in this church who want to be saved in your kingdom. There are people in this church who are struggling with sin. All of us, Lord, are struggling with sin. And so, Lord, we come before you today to surrender ourselves to you, to humble ourselves in the mighty hand of God, so that we may cleanse us and lead us. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge the progress of evil. We desire it. We go to it. We handle it. We practice it. Oh, Lord, help us to turn around that same progress
to righteousness. We want to be saved. We go to your words and we practice your words and we live your words so that you can be pleased. And so we can be delivered from sin. Lord, there are some who are chopped in all kinds of practices. Oh Lord, give them the desire, the same way they dress at church, the same manifestation they manifest at church. Help them, oh Lord, that they may carry that out everywhere they go so that they can be distinguished from those who are God's people, from those who are not. So they can be true witnesses in the eyes of God. Bless us, Lord, and sanctify us for your purpose. And help us, Lord, that we may learn to transmit the word of God into our everyday lives, and so we can practice it daily. Hear us and grant us your peace in no other name but in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Please remain standing for the closing exercise.